Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Live from the South Side in Cork and Kerry at the Park, this is our celebration of the Red Line Series on the home of the White Sox, 720 WGN.
Yeah, yeah, this is John Williams. That's not the normal open. This isn't a normal show. We are at Cork and Kerry, as you heard, at 33rd and Princeton on the South Side. We're ready for the White Sox-Cubs Red Line Series, which is always a fun series. To be honest with you, I think it's a little more fun this year than it has been in the past. Cubs are going to the playoffs. The White Sox are not, but you get the feeling the White Sox are a team of destiny. There's a little momentum with this club, and the Cubs are obviously on their way to the playoffs. It'd be fun to play the spoiler. This was going to be so much fun if Michael Kopech was pitching in one of these weekend games, and he is not, but his dad's going to say hi to us, and we'll check in with him at 1:35. So all of your friends from WGN Radio are here, including Steve Bertrand. as well as
hurts
Steve
a little
Bertrand.
Bit, yeah.
Violeta Padromedic is here.
Hello.
Adam is here, our engineer. It's always nice to see him running the dials. Our producer, Elif Garris.
Hi.
But most important of all, Rokan is here, ladies and gentlemen.
It is the most important moment, I think, of the broadcast so far today. The broadcast, though, is 11 minutes old.
And Richard Roper's standing next to you, too. What are you guys doing here, Ro? What's your plan?
Well, the plan right now is to have a Goose Island beer here at Cork and Kerry.
Try the grumpy old man.
Exactly. And then to wander over, because Rich and I, it's a really interesting thing. You know, as friends for 30 years, we've gone to a lot of sporting events together. And the Cubs Sox, we've been to a number of them. And I always wear Cubs gear and he'd wear Sox gear. And this year we're both wearing black. So it's kind of a moment. Even though the Cubs are, you know, they're going to the playoffs and do all this, you got to represent here on the South Side for the Chicago White Sox. You're doing it too. You're wearing socks.
You know what I've got on? I not only have on my White Sox pullover, underneath I have a black and white kind of tropical shirt. Steve Bertrand has on a black, white, and gray tropical shirt because in December I'm doing the White Sox trip to Mexico.
Yes. Socks on the beach.
This is my theme, socks on the beach. Mr. Roper, how are you?
I'm great. Hello, John. I can barely hear you, but I do have a question for you guys.
These remotes are such a bad idea. Go ahead.
Who are these? There's somebody named the Contrarian or something. I keep seeing all these blue jerseys that say, was it Contreras? Is that?
Yes.
Yeah, and then there's a guy named Rizzo? Who are these people in the blue jerseys?
Actually, I think Rizzo's in the back of the bar. There's like four Rizzos came in.
Yeah, that is every White Sox dream.
Well, I tell you this, if you yell, hey, Anthony, anywhere around here, six people are going to turn around and say hello, that's for sure.
Did you know that the Rizzos next to Wrigley Field has no relationship to Anthony Rizzo? There's a Rizzos right next to the brick house. It's, I guess, been there forever. I'm kind of new to the neighborhood, but I thought, wow, what did they have to pay for that? And they said, no, Rizzo's was here, and then Rizzo comes and beats the starter team.
But if you were that family, John, wouldn't you go to every one of those DNA, me, 23 things until one of them showed some sort of strain of them being related? Just keep going. Keep taking the test, right?
Yes, I would, Mr. Roper. What a good idea. Damn, I didn't even think of that. What a good idea.
You know what I have noticed, though, in Cubs land is the Brizzo shirt. Have you seen it? It's B-R-Y-R-I-Z-Z-O for, you know, Chris Bryant and
nice.
Rizzo. And the problem is, what happens if one of those guys gets traded? Your shirt is totally useless.
That's true.
Mean, it's one thing if you're like you have a jersey or whatever that's got a player that's no longer on the team. That's one thing. But you've doubled down here. You've actually screwed up the ability to do anything with that thing ever again.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Well, I'm just going to, I mean, you might have an Addison Russell jersey.
That's true. Are you saying things could always be worse?
Hey, things could be worse, yeah.
Okay, so just to catch everybody up, if you're just joining us, Addison Russell is now on administrative leave. He will not be in the game today, and it's no telling when he's going to join the team again, if ever. Have you guys heard anything about that? Any line on that?
It seems to be pretty serious. We don't know all the details, but
it's another blog post by his ex-wife. They just separated. Their divorce was finalized the last day of August, so they're just divorced. And I don't know if her allegations in this blog are relative to the previous accusation or if it's something new, but the White Sox and MLB are the Cubs and MLB are looking into it, and he's not going to play today.
Wow.
Yeah, that it originally started was a girlfriend of the now ex-wife had gone on Instagram, I have a friend, and made, you know, allegations.
But the girlfriend's allegations, I think, were about her friend Addison's wife.
Right, but now, but now the wife is doing
and now
it
the wife evidently is saying that you no longer have an accusation, you have a story or something like that.
Yeah.
So it sounds like she's got something to say. She wasn't real specific in her post about it, but the Cubs have said, doggone it, these guys. You know, I said to somebody, what a shame. And by that I meant, what a shame if it's true, then it's just terrible that somebody's living in an abusive situation. And regardless of whether or not it's true, just what a shame that these guys can't figure it out, and that it's coming at a time when the Cubs really need them.
Absolutely.
But also, we're living in a moment here. I mean, sort of in a more general point, we're living in a moment where the first whiff of something bad stops everything. It stops everything in motion.
Yeah.
And then you, without necessarily a full investigation. Now, they're investigating. MLB is investigating. Clearly, they've taken it over. MLB security, which is second only to NFL security in terms of things like this. But you know, it's, you would hope that the investigation goes fairly quickly, and they can make a determination about whether or not this, you know, goes forward or doesn't go forward.
Yeah. It's a strange time, that's for sure. You were going to say something, Steve?
Well, I was going to say, I think you used the term first blush or something like that, and in this case, it's number two or it's a second.
Right, well, no. That's true. In this particular case, it is. But when allegations come forward,
no, I agree.
It's like, you know, it's just, it's and sometimes the allegations, and again, we don't know this case, so I want to take Addison Russell out of this, but sometimes the allegations come forward, and the allegations are, they're pretty tenuous. Right, and then you're like, oh, well, what, you know, where do we go with this? But I think we're in a moment like right now where there has been so many things when the first blush allegation turns out to be right, and then people stop and go, wow, we don't want to wait too long.
Absolutely.
You know, let's talk about the White Sox for a minute. I asked the guys on the sports staff at the radio station. Mm-hmm. I'll ask you guys too. What is your favorite White Sox moment or memory this year? So, like, I'll go first. I have my, and I said, give me your top three or any three. The two angle catches, we robbed the home runs. The Boston Red Sox series, because as I recall, we split or won three series in a row with Milwaukee, with Boston, and I forget who the other team was, but there were three good teams mid-season. We said, what do you know? And then I'll take one of Michael Kopech's starts for my three best moments for the Sox this year. How about you? Give me three good moments.
You know, those are all really, really good, John. I would say, you know, and obviously Kopech has now had the surgery and he seems to have come through it very strong.
That would be a bad moment.
But I would say that his debut, the first inning when he was there and his family was in the stands, I would put that right up there. And the catches you mentioned. And the other thing I would mention is the celebration of Jim Thome. When Jim Thome came to Chicago right after he was inducted into the Hall of Fame, and the White Sox paid a beautiful tribute to him and his family. And it just shows you what a great, great person he was that he got honored in three different towns where he played over the years.
How about
Cleveland
that?
And Minnesota because he was so beloved. That was a really cool moment. Of course, brought back memories of when he was with the Sox in the mid-2000s.
How about you, Ro?
I think it was that Kopech, the Kopech night after his first actual strikeout, which was crazy. The first strikeout of Kopech's career at Guaranteed Rate Field.
I don't want to take anything away from that, but
the crowd went. But to me, it was like the crowd. That was a huge crowd that night, and there was such an emotion because I think, you know, as Cubs fans can tell you, there was a turnaround moment, right? There was a moment when Chris Bryant, you know, hit his first home run, and there was a moment when people were waiting for something because they know the future is coming, and when they see it, it was very, very cool.
Remember what happened to his first two batters, though? Kopech's first two batters.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you know, welcome to the big leagues.
I know. Yeah. That's what I was thinking. I thought, so even if you throw it 100, they can hit 100.
Exactly.
You got to be able to pitch. And it turns out now, what did he pitch? 11 innings?
I think that's about right.
And gave up one run.
Yeah.
I mean, so I think he's, for his limited sort of.
And he clearly was having an issue. I mean, the thing is that he was never, when he came up here, he was throwing 101, 102 down in Charlotte. When he got up here, he wasn't really breaking 96, 97.
Right.
And they clearly there was an issue. Now let's see what happens when he comes back.
It's I like my pitchers who have bad arms and throw 94. Yeah. And everybody goes, what's with that? He's got a problem.
He threw a changeup and it was 91. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Sam McDowell was throwing 91 for the, you know, it was considered like the fastest guy in baseball back in the day.
It's just fun to be a baseball fan in Chicago now. And I would take being a baseball fan in this city more than any other city in America.
Yep, I think you're right. True. And I know it sounds so cliche to say, I really think something's going to happen here on the South Side. But
it is. It is, John. I really believe it is. And then they've got a ton of great, and I love the attitude and the spirit they have in the clubhouse and in the dugout. These guys are, you know, they're kids who have fun. A guy like Tim Anderson, he's a guy who really just loves playing the game and is very grateful for having the opportunity.
I put one of Palka's home runs in there he had as many home runs as he did.
Yeah.
And who is it? You can tell I'm new to the team. Who's the one that dumps the Gatorade on his head when other people hit the home run?
Oh, Yomar.
How fun is that?
Yeah. All that kind of stuff.
I'm going to start doing that. After Rose Show, I'm going to put it on my head.
I like that idea.
That's a good move.
We got to take a break, guys. So you're going to shoot some video or something?
Yeah, we're going over and shooting some stuff over in the
play a little bags the out there, you know.
Have a good time. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks, guys.
Roper, Rokan.
I got, by the way, I just want to say, to be a true Sox fan, you just got, even though you're Chicago, you got to harden up your consonants, and then you're in good shape.
Yeah, so give me an example.
Like, we're going to go play some bags.
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 Got it.
Over by.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you, Rokan, for that helpful tip. It's 121. We're at Cork and Kerry. It's the John Williams Show, getting ready for the Red Line Series, Game 1, at least this time, on the South Side, on WGN. We're live at Cork and Kerry on WGN Radio. I'm supposed to say today's broadcast is sponsored by Goose Island Beer Company, the place to go before and after every game. It's Cork and Kerry, and we'll visit with one of the brewers from Goose Island in a little while. And we'll also say hello to Brooks Boyer, who I think is on the phone line. Hey, Brooks, it's John Williams. How are you?
Hey, John, I'm doing great. Happy Crosstown.
Yeah, no kidding. Happy Crosstown to you, my friend. What's the attendance at today's game? Do you have an early number? Is it sold out or close?
No, it's not. Tomorrow, Saturday and Sunday are sold out. There's some standing room onlys that we released. Today, there are tickets available. I think at last check, I think we had distributed over 36,000 tickets. So there are tickets that are available for today if anyone's interested in skipping out of work a little bit early.
Yeah, what the heck? We got 2 hours before the pregame coverage. That's 2:30, and then 3:05. What is it? What's the first pitch exact time, Brooks?
3:10 first pitch.
All right, so Brooks, got time to get down here.
John is sitting here with 10 of his coworkers. If he wanted to pick up tickets for the 10, you're saying he could do that?
He can do that for today. It's going to be harder. He's going to have to stand in the outfield for tomorrow or Sunday, but tickets are available, remain available for today's game.
And similarly, if Steve wanted to buy tickets today, Steve could buy tickets today. Is that also correct?
Steve could buy tickets today. We'd just probably charge him a little bit more.
Thank you for that. It's up to you, John.
Yeah.
Hey, Brooks, we were talking to you from Cork and Kerry for the home opener. Here we are now, a week left in the season. I asked the members of the staff and the sports staff here, what are your highlights of the season? You get three. Go.
Well, I think the first highlight for me, when you think back, was because it's mostly recent, is when Michael Kopech came up for the game. It was electric in the ballpark, and our fans understand our process. So for him to come up and create the excitement that he did for our fans was a lot of fun, and just kind of give a peek behind the curtain of the future. I think the next best, the number two, is ultimately what's to come this weekend when hopefully we beat up the Cubs and put the Brewers a little bit closer to them. And the third highlight is you know, more sincere and more accurate. It's you know, the reaction from our fans to Hawk Harrelson Day and the fact that we're saying goodbye to a legend in the broadcast booth, and the reaction from the fans this year, and I'm sure the reaction from the fans over the course of this homestand is going to be pretty unique. And it's not often you have, you know, someone you know who has been in the booth for so long, so well known, not just in Chicago but across the country, hang up the microphone. And yeah. He's a special guy for White Sox fans.
He told some great stories over his career, and it was really fun this year to hear the highlights when he'd be on various broadcasts and just reminiscing. It was a real treat. I got to tell Adam Engel, though, that you didn't think his catches were very impressive.
I will sub those in for beating up the Cubs this weekend because, man, were those something else. And what it's turned into is every time a ball is hit anywhere close to the fence, you expect him to catch it. And that does make it pretty exciting. The Yomer Sanchez walk-off celebrations were pretty awesome as well.
Yeah, we had that on our list. And, you know, I'm going to add one, and I think you're going to agree with me on this, and then I'll let you go. But I would say, and actually you don't know this, but in general I would say the fact that the White Sox and this radio station are doing business again was a real highlight for us. Baseball needs to be on WGN Radio. It's been so much fun getting to know you guys and get reacquainted. And when the first game was on, and the White Sox scored their first run, and it was on the road, of course. You didn't hear it, but I did. People were running up and down the halls of WGN screaming. We got a guy named Ernie who almost hurt himself, and it's very infectious. So we're really excited about what's to come.
WGN, that's a really great point. Todd Manley, the entire team at WGN, has been terrific to work with. And, you know, we really wanted a broadcast partner that was a true flagship, and what you guys do for us on a daily basis, and you know, hanging in there with us and working with us and promoting us has been a pleasure. And I just, if I can take this opportunity to thank everybody at WGN Radio, what an amazing partnership this is, and for many years to come, and we're going to call a lot of great historical moments together.
Amen to that. We got some good people here. You do too. Let's stay in touch and let's win this series, okay?
You got it. Enjoy your Goose Islands over there. Thanks, guys. Go Sox.
Yeah, that's what we're doing. Thank you, Brooks Boyer.
Live from the South Side in Cork and Kerry at the Park, this is our celebration of the Red Line Series on the home of the White Sox, 720 WGN.
Don't want to brag, but I actually took the Red Line to the Red Line Series. Do I get Chicago props and points for that?
Sure.
Are you going to take it home?
Yeah, I am. I know, that's a good question, because then if you go, and then my friend's picking me up, or I'm going to Uber back to the north side, then...
You gotta be tough.
If you're
going to
do it,
back.
You got to do it both ways, don't you? I took the Red Line from, actually, the Addison stop. Think about this. I am the perfect guy for the Red Line series. I took the Red Line from the Addison stop, got off downtown, then got back on at Lake and took it all the way to here, and I'll go from here back up to the Addison stop. So that's the true Red Line commute.
You did it right. You did it right.
You know what I did? I'm here at Cork and Kerry, and I've had at least two or three green lines. And maybe I'm going to need to take the Red Line. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Hey, by the way, hey, everybody. Michael Kopech's dad is on the phone. I want you to say hi to Michael Kopech's dad, okay? Well, hold on. We're about to put him on. Mr. Kopech, are you there?
I am.
On the count of three, everybody say hello, Mr. Kopech. One, two, three.
Hello, Mr. Kopech.
They're such good kids, aren't they? How are you, sir? Good. Welcome to WGN Radio.
I'm doing fine. How are you, fellas?
Really good. You know, we wish that we would have you here at the Cork and Kerry Tavern on the south side. And we'd be talking about your son, maybe taking them out today, tomorrow, or the next day. How is Michael doing?
Well, your wish was my wish as well, but unfortunately we know what happened. But he's doing well. He, of course, had his surgery and experienced all the things that anybody would experience with surgery. But he's strong physically and mentally, and as soon as the pain subsides, he's ready to get back to work to start getting better.
When they do that, do they put you out? I mean, are you awake? Because it's just on your arm. Not like it's just on your arm, but I mean, are you conscious for that, or do they put you under?
No, it's truly a major surgery. They put you under. You're under for somewhere between 2.5 and 3 hours, and it takes a good hour for you to get your bearings back after you come out of surgery. So it's...
Yeah.
It's not like, you know, they remove a Band-Aid or something. It's pretty stringent.
Yeah, you and I haven't met, and I just want you to know I'm a lot smarter generally than that question was. It just dawned on me. That was a really stupid question I just asked. I'm sitting here with my
friends. I wasn't going to say anything.
Lou Manfredini and Steve Bertrand, and they'll vouch for me. I'm not always as dumb as that question made me sound.
I have a question.
The question actually isn't dumb because most people think that it's a very minor surgery.
It's just
because of, you know, what's put out there in the media nowadays. It just seems like it's normal. But what these kids go through, there's nothing normal about it. It's a major surgery.
Especially when it's your son.
Yeah, no Absolutely. Kidding. That's what I was thinking, that I don't care what it is. If it's a toothache or major surgery, anytime your son goes out, anytime they're operated on, as a parent, you must just really feel for them. And you said something interesting to me just now. You said that he's in some pain afterwards, huh? So what's his condition like? How's he feeling?
Well, he's fine. Like I say, the pain comes from the fact that they have to drill into the bone and they have to remove a ligament from your leg to insert in the arm, and so there's major pain. Most people would be curled up in a corner in the fetal position and whimpering loudly, and Michael was ready to go walking the next day. So, you know,
I didn't think about that. It's both on your leg and on your arm. I didn't even think about it that way. And, you know, it's funny, though, because I read the article about you and him in The Atlantic again today. And then as I was clicking around, I was watching some video of him throwing in the minors, of course, for the White Sox. One time, Lou, he was on the mound, and he took a step and then threw 110 miles an hour. And you see it from the perspective of the guy behind the backstop, and you see the gun, and it's sitting there like on 27 or some random number. And then he takes a big step and, boom, throws it 110 miles an hour. And I'm watching this after I know that his arm is going to have a problem. Did you ever worry that somebody throwing that hard would ultimately be in the situation he's in today?
Well, what any of these guys do, any pitcher does, is something that's nearly non-human to begin with. But to throw that hard, I don't think that particular pitch or any particular pitch necessarily was, the cause of any of this. Most of this comes from wear over time, and we know that coming out of high school, he had nothing wrong with his ligament. He was fine. He has medical documentation to show that, because all of the teams want to make sure of that before they go and recruit someone, especially if they're going to try to take them in the first round. So it's wear and tear over, you know, long seasons, and probably the speed of the pitches or the violent nature of a pitch that's thrown that strongly, it probably has something to do with it. But it never worried me that he was throwing hard, because he always threw harder than people his age as he was growing up. And with proper rest and proper recuperation afterwards, there should never be a problem. But, you know, God sometimes has a different plan for us, so...
Mr. Kopech, my name is Lou Manfredini, and what I think is interesting about this, or on the positive side for your son and your family, is that to look at the amount of pitchers that have gone through the Tommy John surgery that go on to have, wonderful careers in Major League Baseball, and so hopefully that is in the back of everyone's mind to say he's young, he's obviously strong, and with the right kind of therapy, as you said, and rest and rehabilitation, that I think for most Sox fans, for sure, everyone's hoping that he comes back, as strong, if not stronger, when he returns.
Well, and we know, of course, of the history of the Tommy John surgery and the number of pitchers that have gone through that and the number of extremely successful careers that are still going on by people that have had that surgery. And so, yes, it is comforting, and it is also... but that's why I say it's basically a double-edged sword. It's become so commonplace that people forget that it is a major surgery, but on the other side of that, most of these players, if they have the mental fortitude, it's not usually the physical nature of the injury that is the problem. It's whether they have the mental fortitude to overcome this kind of a surgery and to get back to where they were. And I don't have any issues at all with regard to Michael and coming back and being mentally strong, because if there's anything he has never been, and that would be mentally fragile, and he is certainly not that. So,
did the doctor say everything looked good?
Oh, sure. The doctor is phenomenal. He's done these kinds of things. He's the same doctor that's worked on various parts of the body of people like Westbrook and Kobe Bryant, and just on and on. His walls are full of very famous athletes' names and things like that that he's worked on, and they've come back, and they are either still performing at the highest elite levels or have in the past and now are retired. But like I said, everything from the medical standpoint is looking very, very good right now.
Was there any chance that you could get a tendon from Kobe Bryant to put in that elbow? Because that might have been helpful.
Yeah.
Well, Michael was actually, I tried to give him my tendon, and he said, "No, thank you. I don't want to throw 37 miles an hour." So,
he threw 37 when he was 6 years old, guys.
Yes, he did.
That's a fact, actually. They go, wait. In fact, tell me if this story is true. So when he was so young and throwing so hard, nobody had speed guns in the youth level that he was at. So you got the sheriff in town to get the speed gun that they give speeding tickets for, and he stood behind the backstop. Is that a true story?
It was actually the local police chief, but yes, that's a true story.
And so,
that's great.
How fast was he throwing? I mean, I don't remember the age or the speed, but what did we discover when he did that?
Well, he was 6 years old, and he got 35 miles an hour, not 37.
Wow. That's funny. Well, listen, sir, this is also Michael. His dad is Michael P., and his son is Michael T., and we just wish you guys the best. You know, we've got all of next season, and I know your son's not going to be throwing for us next year, but we'd love for you to come to Chicago. I'm sure you'll be through town with him once in a while. Come by our studios, say hello, and tell him and your wife and all the folks there in Texas that we wish you all the best.
Well, I really appreciate that, guys, and much to your chagrin, I will take you up on that offer. So,
no, it'll be fun. Our best to you all, okay?
Thank you very much.
Michael Kopech's dad, Michael Kopech, Sr.
Yeah. I was at a Misericordia Fest was a couple weeks ago, and they had a speed gun to throw, you know, pitches.
Yeah, right.
And I don't have a great arm. I don't have an arm at all. And I stood there, and I threw a baseball, and I think I threw it at 32 miles an hour.
Yeah, you know, and I'm not kidding you. I mean, have you guys done that at carnivals
and
stuff?
Yeah, it is embarrassing.
How about you?
I've never tried it, no.
Because I remember doing it at one point when I was younger than I am now. Which has been all of my life now that I think about it. But anyway.
Well, now too.
I took my whole life I've been younger than I am now. So anyway, I took a running start, and I was still enough of an athlete that I thought, oh, so I know I can get 80-something. And it was fantastically slow. It was like 59 or 64.
Yeah. I have a neighbor, a friend of mine, who's very curious all the time. And, you know, they put those radar things in a neighborhood, a little sign going through.
Right.
So he had one in front of his house the cops had put there. And I saw him one Saturday morning out there running at it to see if it would measure his speed.
See, Bertrand's here. That's Lou Banfordini, Mr. Fix-It. You're not even on the air right now, Lou. I mean, you're not doing a show from here today.
No, I'm here drinking beer.
Yeah, no kidding. We're drinking some Goose Island. We'll say hello to the head brewer there. Darren Jackson's going to swing through in a little while. We'll say hi to him, too. And if you're on your way to the ballpark, swing by Cork and Carey. This is WGN. Darren Jackson will say hi in a little bit. By the way, we're all about the White Sox and the Cubs, the Red Line Series today. But just to be clear, there's two other things that are in the news. One is Addison Russell has been put off administrative leave by the Chicago Cubs because of another blog post about abuse.
I think by the National League.
And then say it again?
I think it was by the League, and then the Cubs put out a statement saying they support it.
Oh, really? The League took the lead on that,
I believe so, John.
And then the Cubs have evidently cooperated with it. So Russell is not playing today. Will he be playing again? I don't know. we'll just wait and see how that all plays out. And the other big story in the news, we're 4 minutes away from our next newscast, is that Rod Rosenstein, it has been revealed to the New York Times shortly after he became the acting attorney general.
2 weeks.
Considered. Well, finish the sentence for me.
Well, the New York Times is saying that Rosenstein suggested and talked to others about actually recording the president to prove that he wasn't up to the job and to use that as sort of an impetus to invoke the 25th Amendment, which is where the cabinet would get together and
so was, declare him unfit. So is your understanding that Rosenstein was inquiring about it, or was he suggesting that they invoke the 25th Amendment? He's talking to the Mueller...
The Times says suggested last year that he secretly record President Trump in the White House to expose the chaos consuming the administration and discussed recruiting cabinet members to invoke the 25th Amendment.
You know who's not going to be happy about that? Mr. Twitter.
Since your show started, Rosenstein has put out a statement, and they're saying he denied it. The word I saw was that he said it was inaccurate. So I don't know exactly what that means.
That's funny, because inaccurate to me is not as...
never happened. It's not like saying it never happened.
Right, I know. I mean, isn't it funny that in this day and age, inaccurate isn't enough?
Right.
Inaccurate could mean accurate these days. I'm not exactly sure.
We parse the day of the week.
Okay, so... But it's just funny, because if he was thinking about secretly recording President Trump over a year ago... And they were thinking about the implications of the 25th Amendment then. Imagine what's happened since.
Right.
I mean, if the 25th was in the conversation spring.
I mean, this was months, spring before. This was, you know, just a period of weeks after the president took the oath of office.
Right, because he was elected in November, and this was a few months later.
He was sworn in January, and then this would have been in, I think, April or May.
Now, after he had fired Comey.
After the president fired Comey. The statement from Rosenstein says, quote, inaccurate and factually incorrect, end quote.
Okay. The news is right around the corner. We'll keep you posted. Coming up, the stories that matter with Doma T. Pongo from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio.
It's the Red Line Series, North versus South, and we're live from Cork and Kerry at the park on 720 WGN.
Yeah, we're here at 209. This is Sean Williams at Cork and Kerry. Thanks for tuning in. What a hoot we're having here today. Steve Bertrand is sitting two chairs away from me. Actually, Steve got up. Our Kevin Powell just sat down from WGN Radio Sports. Of course, you hear him regularly with Ro Khan. And also the brewmaster of Goose Island and the owner of Virtue Cider. Before we talk beverage, let's talk baseball. Kevin, what's going on over at, were you at the Cubs locker room?
Oh, yeah. We just got done talking to Theo Epstein, Tom Ricketts, CEO of the Cubs, and Joe Maddon about this Addison Russell latest allegations. And to give everybody a timeline and get everybody caught up on the whole Russell situation, last year's social media post came out from his ex-wife about allegations of domestic violence against Addison Russell. He denied any wrongdoing. Major League Baseball opened up an investigation, which is still ongoing. And then last night, his ex-wife posted a blog with more serious allegations against Addison Russell. And he's been placed on administrative leave, so he'll not be in the lineup for at least the next 7 days.
Is what his wife posted about a different incident, or is it the same incident that her girlfriend posted about?
Well, that's what we don't specifically know, but it's more elaborate, the allegations, than what we saw on a handful of social media posts. This was a lengthy blog post from his ex-wife.
Does she describe the physical violence specifically?
Well, she doesn't specifically describe a singular incident, but she does mention him putting his hand on her in front of their child. The Cubs today called it disturbing. Theo Epstein says they did talk to Addison Russell today. They did ask him if the allegations were true, and Addison Russell's staying with his initial response from last year that no wrongdoing from Addison Russell. He's denying the allegations.
Who made the decision then? Is it MLB or is it the Cubs?
Yeah, actually, the way it works with the collective bargaining agreement between the players and teams, when it comes to domestic violence allegations, the team is actually prohibited from stepping in on the investigation. This is all Major League Baseball right now.
So how long before that investigation comes to a conclusion?
We don't know.
Is Russell going to be here at the end of the season?
If you want me to speculate and guess, from just give you my Kevin Powell opinion, I would say he's not going to play again the rest of the year. Now, the way this administrative leave works, it's automatic 7 days, he's out. And then when that 7 days is up, they could add an extension to that, and he could potentially, they could tack on another 7 days.
But if a pitcher, say, or a player has an incident on the field, they can appeal it and then play immediately while the appeal is pending. Is a scenario like that possible?
I think it is possible, but I think at this point everybody's on board with this. I think the Cubs are on board with the administrative leave. I'm not going to speak for Addison Russell, but it doesn't sound like he's necessarily fighting this. Again, he has denied the allegations.
Is it possible the Cubs are just going to throw up their hands and say we're done?
Yeah, I again, this is my opinion, John. This is based off nothing I really heard from the Cubs today, from Ricketts. This is my guess. I don't think Addison Russell plays for the Cubs again.
Including, obviously, then, the playoffs.
Yeah, yeah.
So what is that? Who do you put at shortstop?
Well, I mean, if I know baseball's secondary here when it's a sort of serious matter, but in terms of baseball, the Cubs do have that luxury of having so much depth. But that is what has given Joe Maddon all these options over the past year. And you put
Javi Baez there.
You put Javi Baez at short. Daniel Murphy at second. Ben Zobrist can play second. Probably what you're going to see, you lose a great defensive player in Addison Russell. I mean, he is a sure glove. So, again, baseball secondary here. But you're looking at situations probably where Javi's going to play short full-time, and then Zobrist and Murphy will switch off at second.
For the White Sox station, the Cubs play the White Sox today.
Right.
Everybody's interested in it. I don't want to dwell on it any more than that. You're right. In terms of importance, it's the domestic situation that needs to be resolved, and we wish the best for everybody.
Of course.
It's a baseball story, too, though.
Yeah.
It's a shame that he might not be here for the end of the season. And I'm hearing some fans just grumble that as much a no-nonsense organization as some of the Cubs management team can be, they'll just say, have a nice day, we're done with you.
I wouldn't be surprised if that happens, John. And I hope fans, because you hear a lot of crazy talk from fans when stuff like this comes out and people lose sight that this is domestic violence. And it might be my favorite player. This is just a blog post, blah, 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 blah. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Everybody settle down here. These are serious allegations. Let's let it play out.
And
I've heard a lot of Cub fans today saying they'd be just fine if the Cubs cut him and moved on from him.
Actually, that was the other point I was just going to make. You know how Maddon has players playing all kinds of positions?
Right.
I mean, I know that Chris Bryant's visit to right field was in part because he was coming back from an injury, but it's just interesting how well-prepared he's made a team for almost any eventuality.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of Maddon. I think you got to give Theo Epstein a lot of credit, too, for building the type of team they have and the versatility. I mean, it seems like everybody can play any position with the Cubs, and Joe Maddon has faith in them. So,
I asked members of the sporting staff to give me their top three moments for the White Sox this year.
Yeah, I love that.
Go.
All right, Michael Kopech's debut, without question, was the highlight of the season. Number two, those Adam Engel catches, which I know you mentioned as well, John. And three, I know this isn't on the White Sox level, but this season you have to realize it's not just about the big league club. It has a lot to do with the farm system. So for me, it was really, really fun to follow along what Eloy Jimenez was doing down in the minor leagues, completely destroying baseballs and dominating on there. So White Sox fans every night were watching the big league club, but people were tweeting out videos of Eloy and updates, and check this out, Eloy just hit a ball to the moon. And we would share those. It was fun. It was fun as Sox fans kind
of in the weeds.
Follow along.
You're in the weeds if you're enjoying the minor league season.
That's how good Eloy Jimenez is, though. I mean, this is part of the rebuild right now.
My big three were Adam Engel's home run catches, the Red Sox series. I mean, to me, that was like, wow.
That was fun.
Did we split or did we beat the Red Sox midseason? I think we, I don't know if we went 2-2 or 3-1.
Sounds right. Two and three. It was a good series all around.
And he picked one of Kopech's moments. So those are my big three. We asked Mark Carman. He said Daniel Palka walk-off home run after striking out three times in August.
That was a great one.
You had the Labor Day win over the Tigers. Palka game-tying home run in the ninth. Matt Davidson two-run shot to win it. And opening day, six home runs, beat Kansas City 14-7. Matt Davidson with three. Tim Anderson with two.
Carman's was much more well thought out than mine, John.
There are no wrong answers, honey.
I was distracted today with
Andy Mazur said Yolmer Sanchez celebrations, including dumping Gatorade on himself a couple of times. Engel's home run robberies and starting pitchers growing, said Andy Mazur.
Have you talked to Michael Kopech's dad yet?
We did.
Did you?
Yeah, he asked all about you. He wanted to know how you're doing. He said he's really doing well. He said that's a very painful piece of surgery.
Yeah.
He says people go, oh, yeah, you had the Tommy John, like you had a hangnail removed.
Right.
That's a lot of out. You're out for 3 hours. They operate on your leg. They take a tendon. They put it in your arm.
And he says he's doing well, though, for the most part?
Everything looked as good as it could look.
He's a good guy, huh?
He's fun. I'm
Texas,
gonna talk to
right?
Him
I told
yeah.
you.
Yeah, you told me. Sitting next to you is Greg Hall. He's the owner of Virtue Cider. We're all drinking some Virtue Cider here. Hi, Greg Hall. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Top three White Sox moments, go.
Definitely the Adam Engel catches, because they were right in front of the Goose Island sign, so that made it extra special.
Good answer.
And Kopech coming up, that was super exciting. And then I'd go along with just the, you know, it's not a moment, but the development of the young pitchers, both in the bigs and in the minors.
How come you're not brewing beer personally and making cider these days?
Well, you know, I had always had a fondness for cider, and really discovered a lot of great cider flavors on trips to England and in France, and felt like cider was not as well represented in the U.S. as beer, wine, and spirits were. And there's really no reason. You'd go into a better retailer, and you might find 1,000 beers, 500 whiskeys, 5,000 wines, and like 4 ciders, you know, going back just like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, places had more types of olives than they had cider.
That's changed, though, hasn't it?
It has. So cider is now starting to take off in the U.S. like it does in Western Europe and really most of the rest of the world.
Is it? I wonder what the appeal is. Is it just the unique flavor? It's a different kind of beverage? Is it lower in alcohol? What's the appeal?
Well, I think there's a couple appeals. One is, you know, it has a proper farmhouse cider has the sophistication and complexity of fine wine, but it also has the drinkability and the refreshing flavor of a beer. So you get a little bit of both there.
This says semi-dry cider, Virtue Cider, Michigan apple. Are these Michigan apples in here?
Yeah, so our John, our farm is up in Fenville, Michigan. We buy all our apples from local farmers up there. If you've ever been up to Saugatuck or South Haven, Michigan, well, I know a lot of your listeners have. We're right between the two, just off the lake a little bit. So we've got a 50-acre farm. We're growing some apples there, but there's so many apples in southwest Michigan. We have our pick of them.
Hold on a second. I'm getting my picture taken. Are you taking my picture, Lou? Here we go. And that's the audio of me actually sipping one of these Virtue Ciders. I'm a beer drinker. I'm a spirits drinker. I'm a wine drinker. I like the whole family of alcoholic beverages. I'm new to ciders, and I'm probably not alone in that, right?
You're right. Again, cider 5 years ago was it was few and far between to find a cider at a bar or on tap or in a can or a bottle. But now, like down at Cork and Kerry, where we are, right across from Armour Park and the Sox Park. We got two different cans here, both the Michigan apple,
right,
and then we've also got our rosé cider, super popular, more popular than ever this year, and then our Michigan cherry. So both Michigan apple and Michigan cherry use 100% Michigan fruit. Michigan's the number 2 or 3 apple growing state every year, and it's also the number one tart cherry state. So we like to show off our local fruit.
Well, I'm all for supporting local farmers. The brewmaster from Goose Island is now the Virtue Cider owner. It's a Midwest product, and it's pretty good. I see a lot of these cans walking around Cork and Kerry right now. Greg, keep up the good work. Nice to meet you. Thanks for coming by and saying hi to us today.
Hey, thanks a lot.
Yeah, go Sox, too, huh?
Go Sox.
Yeah, he and I were talking off the air about the difference between a Sox fan and a Cub fan. I'm going to quote you later on, if you don't mind.
Absolutely, please do.
You're a good baseball man, is what you are, sir. It's 221. This is WGN Radio. Our Adam Hogue said, hey, John, here are my top three favorite White Sox moments so far this year. Kopech night one. Yoelmer Sanchez dumping the Gatorade on himself, and then also when he dumped it on third base coach Nick Capra. The Sanchez stuff is so funny. And then Engel's catches. Yeah, those are all good choices there. Chicago's biggest rivalry. Thank you, Adam. Chicago's biggest rivalry is on WGN-TV. Sox and Cubs, the Crosstown Cup. It's today and tomorrow on WGN-TV Sports. Can you recognize the signs of a structural foundation problem? Many homeowners across Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana are experiencing the symptoms of structural foundation issues. Have you noticed doors or windows that no longer shut properly? Are there cracks in your drywall or exterior brickwork? Are your floors uneven? Indicators there that that can be a sign of damage to your home's foundation. Before you pay an expensive consultation fee, call PermaSeal, 1-800-421-SEAL. A certified structural consultant will thoroughly inspect your foundation for free. For over 38 years, PermaSeal has been committed to providing quality, proven products and superior customer service that you deserve. Certified consultant will perform a complete professional inspection absolutely free of charge. When the work is done, you got a lifetime transferable warranty. That's priceless peace of mind. You know who to call. PermaSeal, 1-800-421-SEAL, 1-800-421-7325, permaseal.net. It's 225 on WGN Radio. Tomorrow I'm on from 10 a.m. until 12 noon. Stacey St. Clair is going to come by and talk to us just as a summary of how the prosecution made their case in the Jason Van Dyke trial.
I love my Saturday mornings driving around listening to you and Lou.
I'm sorry, Steve, again?
I love listening to you and Lou on Saturdays.
Do you really?
Yeah, I do.
You never call in.
Well, why would I?
Once in a while, I'll get a text from you.
Right, that's a correction.
But I'm like...
I never text you to be nice, to correct something.
I think you feel that if you were going to call in, that would suddenly feel like work, and you don't want to work on Saturday.
I don't want to impose. You've got plenty of people to talk to. I'm not going to call.
We have a fun lineup. Oh, and by the way, get a load of this. So Joe Brand does sports for us on Saturday.
Right. I'm a huge fan.
Well, do you know the Joe Brand, John Williams, Lou Manfredini story?
The one that just happened?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it.
So I'll have him flesh it out because I don't know all of the details, but it was pretty funny. Last Saturday, we were at the United Center for the Blackhawks Training Camp Festival. He said, hey, Lou, hey, John, you can't tell anybody this. Think of two people that you should not tell something to.
Right.
That you can't share, Lou Manfredini and me. But he said, I'm getting engaged this weekend. And the ruse is why I'm going to be a little tied up. I'm telling my to-be fiancé that we're all going out for lunch. And so...
Yeah, he told me that. He said, I told her that so she'd get dressed up.
So he had some time to do whatever he was going to do to get all set up. She said yes. And what a lucky gal she is. And he's picked a real nice young lady, too. So we're happy for them. And he'll tell that story tomorrow. Hey, Violetta, it's nice to see you today. Violetta, your top, we have 30 seconds left now, Ms. Padromedic. Top White Sox moment this year. 3, 2, 1, go.
When Kopech was up to pitch.
Steve Bertrand, top moment, go.
Well, I would have to say the Kopech hoopla, but also just the anticipation of it all. It's great.
Yeah, yeah. We were really excited about the season to come. And it's been about like we thought it would be, but I also think that's been very hopeful, too.